You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Friday, June 23rd, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Happy Friday to you all! Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside Corey the Fantasy Executive, Parson the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman here with you for the next 2 hours, going up into old school fantasy comes your way. Then on the program today, we'll get into some fantasy football. We had a really nice discussion on some of these number three wide receivers that could be of value to it, and we'll break some more down. I have a whole list of them. We'll get to that. A lot of football to get to. He's Mike Lyon. We'll wrap up the program coming up at 9:40 a.m. Eastern time today. Also on the show, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA draft. We'll do that in just a little bit. Corey, good morning to you, my friend.
Morning, Greg. Oh boy,
you're on. You're good.
Here we go. Morning, Greg. How you doing, buddy? How's everything?
Everything's pretty good, man. How are
Wonderful.
You?
I feel good, you know what I'm saying? Ready to start, ready to rock and roll, ready to talk whatever you want to talk about, football, basketball, whatever. So I am well. Give me my football. Give me my football, please.
We do this during the break or on TV?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Canada.
Scotty, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Good night in fantasy baseball. Carlos Gomez is on fire.
He hit
two homers last night. The guy's wearing his Superman cleats, and he's playing like it. He's got a 10-game hitting streak with 5 home runs and 15 RBIs.
Yeah, he's been absolutely killing it since coming off the DL for the Texas Rangers. Maddie, how are you?
Happy Friday. Today's goal is to dethrone Greg Sussman. Keep him away from the three-peat.
You know what? It's been two in a row. Things have been good, and I hope to continue that streak. Hope to continue that streak. Before we get into the draft, I was talking to my dad last night about Kristaps Porzingis and Phil Jackson. And, of course, I was saying, you know, Phil's an old idiotic hippie and just a moron on the whole deal, you know. And he was like, and he talked about the Kristaps Porzingis trade rumors and, like, how dare he do this and everything. And he was just like, you know what Phil Jackson was doing, right? And I was like, being an idiot? And he goes, no. Phil Jackson was just showing Kristaps Porzingis who the boss is. I go, well, what? And he goes, if you have a job and you have an exit interview, you cannot skip that. If your boss calls you in the office, you cannot just skip that because you're displeased at something at work, that you're unhappy. Anybody would be scolded or perhaps fired or suspended if you just walk. If our boss called an exit interview with us and said, F you, I'm out. You would get, this is his words, you would get a little tongue lashing for that. So basically, this Kristaps Porzingis thing, going out in front of the media saying, basically, no player is expendable, we're going to do his best for the Knicks, was basically a warning shot to Porzingis saying, listen, we're the boss, they're never going to trade, this is his opinion, they're never going to trade him, they just wanted to let Porzingis know who is in charge. It was an interesting take, I'd love your guys' thoughts. We'll hit the NBA draft and when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and of course, live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We roll till 10 a.m. We'll be back right after this. Simple question. Oh, this is cool. Nice job, Mike Florio. Do you know what this is, Scott?
No, but I like it.
You like this one?
Yeah.
This is Randy Orton's theme music.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the wrestling themes are like, you know, rock.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
CFOs.
Yeah.
All right. My simple question to you is this. And Scott, I'll go to you.
Yeah.
Do you agree with my father's assessment on Kristaps Porzingis and the Phil Jackson situation?
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, me either.
But I can definitely see it. Your father sounds like he's got a lot of wisdom, obviously, and he saw it from a different angle than everybody else. And maybe that's what he wants to do, because it was all senseless to us when you were thinking, like, why would you want to trade this guy? Maybe he doesn't. He just, you know, wants to
send a message.
Well, he wants to send the message, you know, as he says, like, you know, you got to do things my way, or, you know, it's like you'll hear it all the time. You know, like any walk of life, like, you know, like a boss will like threaten the employees and say, if you don't do it the way I want to do it, I'll get somebody that will do it. But, you know, sometimes it's just...
Tell me about it.
It's just...
ding. Yeah, so, all of you.
Sometimes, right. Sometimes, you know, they're just trying to show who's in charge.
I think your father was spot on. I think that was the total... I mean, look, unless somebody would have just gave them a fantastic offer and sure. blown them away... And, you know, it was the right approach for that aspect. They did have to come in and rein. You can't have the players running the team, and that happens too much in sports today. You know, people saying, I'm only going here. And we've seen that. I mean, I thought the biggest thing about last night was, did the Bulls get enough for...
We'll get to that in just a second. Corey, obviously you've been very passionate about Porzingis and Phil Jackson. Yeah, but did you think... Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The problem is I thought he was foolish enough to do it.
Right.
That's what the problem was. I figured sure. it was some kind of... He's going to show him who the boss is.
Right.
But then I'm like, this man on those mushrooms, he might just do it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And that's yeah, totally
when,
fair.
Like, when he comes down, he's like, dude... Gonna get rid of Anthony. Gonna get rid of Porzingis, dude. And then he comes down, you know, off the high, and he's like, "Well, maybe, you know, I just wanted to show who's boss." Because, you know, for all the talk about Carmelo Anthony, he's still a Knick.
For now. For now.
Well, no, we say that for now. No, fact
he's not
is,
getting cut. He's not. Getting
fact
cut.
Is, for that. All the talk, Carmelo Anthony is still a Knick.
Again, there's been outside of the last 3 days, there's been no trades, and all the trades people are doing are revolving around draft picks. Just wait until free agency starts. Wait until free agency starts July 1st.
We did hear it before the trade deadline last year, and it didn't happen.
I understand. They tried for sure. All right, let's get into the NBA draft a little bit. Last night, as Matt just said, the question becomes, did the biggest move of the night, everything literally went according to plan. Fultz to Philly, Ball to L.A., Tatum to Boston, Josh Jackson to Phoenix. Everything kind of went as you expected to do. There was nothing crazy that happened at all. The big move was Jimmy Butler. Where did he wind up? We talked about it yesterday, he did not want to go to Cleveland. I had said all along, I was pretty confident he was going to go to Boston. It didn't happen. Instead, Tom Thibodeau gets his man. And he goes back to play with Tibbs. He goes back to the well with Jimmy Butler. Butler goes to Minnesota for Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine off of the ACL tear. And they swapped the 8th pick for the 16th pick or whatnot. Or the 13th pick, whatever that is. Corey Parson, was that enough?
It doesn't seem like it was. It seems like they could have got a little bit more solidified players in that deal for the type of player that JB is. A lot of people think that JB is the second best player in the NBA. So I thought... he could have, well, maybe the second best player in the Eastern Conference. I thought that he could have brought back a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I agreed. I thought, especially because they swapped first round picks, they didn't even get the extra first rounder out of it.
Exactly.
I know they loved Chris Dunn. They loved him last year, but Chris Dunn was like, all right, in the NBA in his first year.
I don't want to say he's a guy, but, you know.
I still want to say that. And I like Zach LaVine, but I think, you know, he's better for fantasy than probably in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I just, you know, this is, as Corey said, a top 5 player in the Eastern Conference.
Welcome.
Is that the press conference for Jimmy
No, I was I was logging in to see if I was on the clock. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, you know, for me, the Bulls obviously tried to hit the reset button, and this didn't impress me.
Well, on Twitter, I know Drew Dinkmeyer, Ricky Sanders, Bulls fans were very upset.
Jake Sealy's a Bulls fan, too, yeah.
Delete your account, front office, and
he
stuff like
still
that.
A Bulls fan.
But, I mean, look, I'm a Knicks fan. I mean, I'm not the biggest basketball guy anymore, but... what's been going on with the Knicks has been dreadful. So, you know, at least they got some championships.
I could see, you know, Bulls fans being a little upset about this, though. You like Corey said, you know, regarded as one of the finest players in the NBA. You know, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, you know, that's not a great return, you know. But moving up in the draft, etc. You know, to number 7, the players like, yeah, Dunn's all right. But like we said, you know, nothing that blows you away. I was interested in the trade deadline last year. I thought Butler was going to go somewhere significant and be part of a real like playoff run, and it didn't happen. And now he goes to a team, you know, that's still got some holes to fill.
Well, so it's interesting you say that. I think this is the perfect spot for Jimmy Butler to bring what he brings, right? He brings the intensity of the defensive end, certainly, Tom Thibodeau needs. And you have Andrew Wiggins, you have Karl Anthony Towns, and you have Ricky Rubio, and all of a sudden, like, this is a team, like, we said last year we thought Timberwolves would be pretty good, and now they have even a bigger superstar. I don't want to underestimate how big of a superstar Jimmy Butler is, because he is.
I think it's great that he's back with his old coach. I mean, he excelled under him, so it makes a lot of sense, and, you know. But and everybody seems to think, I think the overwhelming thought is, you know, they got him for a really good price.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think Tibbs is pumped. And certainly Jimmy Butler, as you guys just said, very excited to be back with his old coach here in Minnesota.
Is there any thought to, like, how it affects some of the other players on that offense? Because, you know, Butler can certainly score. Like, how much does it affect Anthony Towns at all?
Well, Karl Anthony Towns is not going to be affected at all. Karl Anthony Towns is just a beast. And it's in the NBA where you score 110 points a night, Jimmy Butler putting in 30 is not going to harm Karl Anthony Towns anyway.
Yeah, that's a guy, like, when I was watching Daly last year and playing it a little bit, just like, he's like, you had to have him on your roster. Like,
Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best players in the NBA. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was like a default. Just like build your roster around him.
Well, you know, so certain nights it was, and certainly made it easier because, again, he is just incredible. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the thing with DFS hoops. It's like more predictable than the other DFS fantasy sports.
What's interesting about that is we had the author, of Julian with Kings, Dan Barbarisi, was on with us. And he basically said, yes, basketball is the most predictive. That makes it actually the hardest game because there's more sharks playing NBA than any other sport, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And he basically said because of how unpredictable baseball is and to a degree, certainly hockey is, and then the NFL where there's just so many people playing, it is actually easier for an amateur, quote unquote, to win in a DFS game. Where the NBA, it is predictable and the sharks really feel they have such an advantage that it's much, much tougher.
Yeah.
Which surprised me because, you know, I like to play the NBA because of the exact reason. Like, I thought it was predictable. And, you know, now I learned that. I may have to change my ways.
You could win, but, like, how much can you win big, you know, is the question.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the answer to that. Even it's funny because when I played DFS basketball this year, I felt like the competition was harder than ever before. I felt like the scores that I were putting up this year, I would have won easily with last year. That I was putting up really nice scores, and I wasn't coming close to winning. And I had to really reevaluate myself, and I talked to Tony about it, and he's just like, listen, keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be fine ultimately. And, you know, I got on a hot streak, and I probably wound up even for the year, in all honesty.
Or you could subscribe to Daily Roto.
Or I could subscribe to DailyRoto.com, of course.
I don't play golf, so I can't speak for it, but I feel like of all the sports I play, like baseball and NASCAR, are the most unpredictable.
Golf is fun, I will say that. I kind of enjoy it, you know, having to make that cut, and then if you make it, then you feel really good.
Right.
It's like 4 days. If you do advance, you have like 4 days of fun.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny because every major, I do a pool just with my buddies, and it's new DFS. It's basically like combined mm-hmm. with your team was the lowest score. Very simple. And when you guys make the cut, you get pumped. And so I can totally get the DFS golf thing. Maybe I'll dabble at some point. I just hate being so behind the curve on it. I was mm-hmm. like, oh man, I wish I started when Pat did. When Pat was telling me, you gotta play golf, I'll screw this. I wish I did that. And now, you know, I'd probably be a little bit richer. Whatever. On to the program today. When we come back from the break, I want to get back into some of these number three wide receivers that we were talking about yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot more that I wanted to get to. We had a really nice discussion on it. Of course, the Lakeland Treadwell was a good topic of conversation yesterday. Cordarrelle Patterson was as well. But when we come back from the break, I want to stay right here in New York City and talk about the Giants' number three wide receiver in Sterling Shepard. Because Sterling Shepard last year had a ton of touchdowns. And yet this year, nobody seems to want Sterling Shepard with the addition of Brandon Marshall and Evan Ingram. I'm going to throw out to you guys here on the panel what kind of draft pick we should be using on Sterling Shepard, if one at all. Stick around. Number three wide receivers coming your way next here on the June 23rd edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network live. We're hanging out. And I wanted to get in to number three wide receivers. Yes, Scott.
Can I bring up one point that Tony made this morning, though? We had this whole debate about Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday.
Yes.
And he made a point that I think maybe we missed. Seth Roberts is still there. Is
the architect.
Patterson really the third wide receiver? Or is he the fourth?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. Okay.
As of now, I would think he'd be the fourth with Roberts still there.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Sterling Shepard, the number three wide receiver in New York. We always like sophomore and junior wide receivers to take a bit of a jump, right? We always like to believe that, all right, after a year in the NFL, they're going to really explode. Sterling Shepard had a nice rookie year. You know, he was
yeah,
kind of inconsistent from a fantasy standpoint, but unlike what you would expect from, again, a rookie wide receiver. He finishes the year 65 catches, 683 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Again, that's a really good year from a rookie wide receiver. So the thought process would be he would take a jump. However, the Giants signed Brandon Marshall. They drafted Evan Ingram. And now Sterling Shepard, I think the light is a little bit dimmed on him for many in the fantasy community. King, is that fair?
I think it has to be because the Giants are looking to balance the passing game out more. I don't know how much you can expect from the rookie tight end because we all know that. But the fact that Brandon Marshall is there, and while he may not be what he was in his prime, he's still going to move the chains, be a red zone target. But, you know, I don't think you lose sight totally of Shepard from the slot. Had some very impressive performances. Had a 2-month stretch last year in which he caught 3 touchdowns in every month. So he was consistent. You know, this is a young. You got to remember that Marshall, you know, is kind of on a downward career curve, whereas Shepard's going to play in the slot and is coming up. So I don't think you can totally forget about the guy. Although Jake Seeley made a very bold prediction in the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio checkout for a special discount. He said Eli Manning's going to be Matt Ryan this year. I think
that's pretty damn good.
I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. Eli Manning, I just can't see him on that level of passing volume that Matt Ryan is in. And even though the receiving core is more diverse, but, you know, to basically answer your question, maybe the light is dimmed a little bit, but, you know, I think he has to improve in terms of the yardage and in terms of the catches, you know, maybe the touchdowns. I could see more if I was to project it where you saw 65 for 683.
And
I could see less touchdowns and more yardage.
Well, you just said more touchdowns a moment ago, so.
I kind of like
you're saying you can see him improving in all three categories.
I'm saying is what I said was, I'm sorry if I didn't communicate correctly.
Yeah.
I could see less touchdowns, but I could see more catches and more yardage.
That's fantastic, though.
Yeah.
I like to add him on my team if I have, like, if I draft Odell Beckham, you know, high.
Was it a handcuff?
As, like, late. I mean, I like Sterling Shepard. I think if they didn't have Brandon Marshall, this could have been a really exciting year, too, for him. But, I mean, right now, he's the third option out of the wide receivers. Let's see what Ingram can do. Because Ingram is basically another wide receiver. That's what he was in college. And he's definitely going to be a mismatch out there. And I think he will be a red zone target as well. But for like a Sherlin Shepard, if I invest, like, say, the number 5 pick in Odell Beckham, and I get Shepard late, say, in a 16-round draft, you know, he's one of the last couple of picks I take, you know, I'll roster him for now. I mean, who's the other guys I'm going to be taking at that point anyway? I'm going to be trying to get some guy that's, you know, probably a third or fourth wide receiver on a worse team.
Sure. All right, so here's the problem with the Giants real quick, though.
Go ahead.
Giants real quick is that, you know, Odell's going to get his, right? The problem with the passing game is that, you know, the best passing games spread the ball around a lot. The best quarterbacks do that a lot. The Giants want to have that. And because they have Marshall, because they have Shepard, and because they have this rookie, what a mismatch he's going to be. He's still a rookie tight end. You know, I don't think you're going to be able to depend on any of these guys. That's the issue. Even as a fantasy wide receiver 3, can we depend on Marshall or Shepard is anything more than a fantasy wide receiver 4th? That's going to be the
issue. Brandon Marshall's a wide receiver 4?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think Brandon Marshall's a wide receiver 4, Scott. You're talking about top. He's going to be between, like, what, 25 and 50 in that range? He's going to be between, what, 30 and 40 in that range?
You have to look at the situation. You have Odell. He's the clear number one guy. Marshall is not in the prime of his career anymore. You have Shepard. You have Ingram. They're going to want to run the ball. Yeah. You know, it's like Brandon Marshall might be better for NFL purposes than he is for fantasy.
I don't know about that one right there, Scotty. I don't think there's no way that Brandon Marshall can finish no lower than a wide receiver three and a high-end wide receiver three. I got him definitely in that wide receiver two range. You look at what Eli Manning, I mean, they have no running game to speak of.
Correct.
This team right here is about throwing the football. He threw the football 598 times last year. Odell Beckham's not going to get 598 targets. If that happens,
no, I'm not saying he won't catch the ball at all. I'm just saying I don't know how much I can depend on him because, you know, there's a good possibility, like I first said, Marshall's going down, you know, like Marshall's going like this and, you know, Shepard's going like this.
So you think
Shepard
passes Marshall?
I think he's more likely to go forward and Marshall. See, I'm not going to say Marshall's going to disappear.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is if, you know, I there's more upside for Shepard. I think there's more downside for Marshall.
Okay, wow, that's interesting. But if you make 600 pass attempts, right?
Yeah.
Say Odell Beckham got 170 targets.
Yep.
Okay, say Brandon Marshall this year they got 128. Say he got 130. That's 300 targets right there.
Yeah.
Shepard had just over 100 targets.
He's going to get another 100
targets. That's 400.
Shepard will get another
200 targets.
Exactly. Shepard will get another 100. He will have another 100 targets seen. And right now he's going for a song in drafts. Yeah. I would hop on him because if an injury strikes, he's in prime position. He's in prime position. But even without an injury, he can be a Randall Cobb type, you know what I'm saying? But Randall Cobb is to the Packers.
Well, that's
he's going to be a guy that you're going to want to have throughout the course of the bye weeks, and you can get him in the 13th round. Sterling Shepard.
Let me ask you this.
This is not the Packers offense.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because it is exactly the Packers offense. It's from the quarterback that the coach is the quarterback's coach in the Packers. He was trying to bring the Packers offense and develop it in New York.
Aaron Rodgers
only had 12 more attempts than
there you go. It's the Packers
offense. This is not going to become that sort of volume, though.
Yes, it did already.
It's less volume last year. So there you go right there. It's no real legit consistent running game on either team. It's three wide receivers on each team. It's the same offense.
The Giants are probably going to go four wide.
Yeah, and the Giants. Yeah, exactly. The Packers don't have no tight end.
So because the coach comes over, this is turning into the Green Bay offense. There's going to be an elite offense in the NFL all of a sudden.
They were an elite offense last year, Scott.
As far as getting up and down the field.
They just couldn't score.
Eli Manning was the weakest link.
Absolutely. That's not your opinion. That's a fact, Matt.
So he's going to become Aaron Rodgers now because the quarterback coach is coming
Jake
over?
Jake Sealy says he's
I'm not agreeing with him.
We just said, all we're saying, I think, is that the Giants is going to become the Packers offense. They're trying to be. Yes. They're trying to model their offense after the Packers. So you put each guy in each spot, right? Like Odell Beckham is Jordy Nelson. You have Brandon Marshall trying to be in like the Devontae Adams role. And then basically you have Sterling Shepard as Randall Cobb. That's what the offense is built for. I'm not saying it's going to be as efficient or as successful as Packers.
No, Aaron Rodgers is not there.
Because Aaron Rodgers isn't there.
Exactly.
But what the Giants are trying to do is model themselves after the Packers.
And I mean, if I can get Shepard in the 13th round or later, I'm going to take him every time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, he shouldn't be going too hard. I would take him
two rounds before that.
Let me ask you all this. Three out of the four of us just compared to the Packers and the Giants offenses because you can see the similarities. Who would you rather have in 2017? Sterling Shepard or Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb.
Still.
I think Randall Cobb was a victim of health last year. I think health was an issue for Randall Cobb last season. So
it's been a couple seasons now, though.
Yeah, I get it. And we've seen the massive breakout from Devontae Adams. I still would give Randall Cobb the slight nod.
What about you, Matt?
I think Corey's right, but it's tough. Because I want to say Shepard, but it's really close. I'll say Cobb, but...
No doubt about that. It's close.
Scotty.
I think Randall Cobb's more established.
No, that's for sure.
I'm starting to get like kind of dicey with Cobb though, where I feel like Shepard's on the upswing. So I'm going to be a little bold here and say Shepard.
And also I'll say Cobb too, because if something happens to Adams or Jordy, I'd rather have, just because Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback.
I understand that, and that's why the answer probably is Cobb. But we have seen something happen to Adams and Jordy, and we've seen Randall Cobb do nothing.
Yeah.
We haven't. You are right. I mean, he has been a very disappointing player.
He's been banged up a lot.
Maybe it's because I've been burned like 3 years in a row with Randall Cobb that I'm kind of negative on Cobb. So, like, I get it. The answer is Cobb.
Get out your feelings.
He's not going to be on my team.
I don't want to sidetrack, but I just want to bring this up. For the Giants,
yes.
Is Shane Vereen the best back in that backfield? I mean, I kind of think so.
They really like this rookie that they drafted, though, as a power runner.
I think it's very hard to say they really like this rookie. We haven't seen him practice yet. What
I'm saying is that, you know, I've read a lot of positive reports about it before minicamp about just like how they want to establish a power running game, and they think this might be the case.
I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think they give a crap about a power running game anymore. They're gonna run the ball, much like the Packers, in all honesty, to keep the offense honest, right? That's the only reason they're gonna run Paul Perkins or Wayne Gallman, is to keep the offense honest, and then it's gonna certainly run through the right shoulder of
Think Shane Vereen's
the guy
that I was
reading the season preview by one of the beat reporters.
Oh, was that in some magazine that was written 6 months ago?
No, not to something that was written 6 months ago. Why would I bring that up? You know, it's this team wants to focus on defense and have a good run pass balance.
That's just false.
Remember
when he told me yesterday that I brought up Russell Wilson and how they could just be professional pass and keep it? And he was like, "You're wrong. That's just not true."
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you about the Giants.
Yeah,
right
if
now.
The Giants wanted a run pass balance, they would have signed Adrian Peterson or LeGarrette Blount.
Absolutely,
stuff like that.
The Giants are going to, you know, last year. The Giants ran the same formation on 98% of plays, and everyone called for more of a balance, more of a differentiation of their offense. And Ben McAdoo refused, because this is what we believe works the best. And maybe you'll get a little bit more differentiation this year with formations. They are not going to all of a sudden become a power running team.
So you guys are saying that you believe that this offense is going to be explosive enough. There's going to be a lot of passing to go around for everybody.
600 passes last year.
Didn't I just break down the math though? I thought I did. I mean,
600 passes last year. I think we see that again.
I was asking for Greg. I trust his opinion more.
I think we see that again. More talk in the NFL. Yeah. Number 3 wide receivers. What are your tracks? Controversy in regards to Sterling Shepard and the New York Giants. It's okay. That's what we're here for, to have this debate. So, we're back to Sterling Shepard for a moment. We'll do Randall Cobb, both number 3 wide receivers I was interested in. You said that everyone kind of agreed here at this table. They're close.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you now. You and Corey broke it down really well.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Scott seems
bitter. Everyone kind of agreed.
Like 1984.
Everyone kind of agreed they're close.
That's the last time the Cowboys won.
So, let me throw some names out there for you, all right? Please. Sterling Shepard or Tyrell Williams?
Sterling Shepard.
Tyrell Williams.
I want to say Tyrell Williams, too. I mean, with Mike Williams having this setback, Allen not 100%, I really like Williams. I'm hoping that he gets the usage that I think he deserves.
I just feel like too many mouths to feed in San Diego.
I think if that is the case, Tyrell Williams more than likely would be that second mouth to feed. So I'm looking at that as I like Tyrell Williams, and he's another player that's going for a song right now. You can get him in the 10th round of draft.
Well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Maybe
that's
later
why I brought it
up. Drafts.
To me, I think I agree with you, Scott, that I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard only because I think his role is a little bit more defined. Like, I know what Sterling Shepard is right now. I don't know Tyrell Williams'
role. I like
role
Tyrell Williams.
Me too.
I do.
I don't know Tyrell Williams' role with Keenan Allen back. And
no, I'm
going to
go
with
Tyrell Williams.
That's fine.
You
don't have to. You can do anything you want. Yeah. Sterling Shepard or John Brown?
I'm going to go John Brown.
Okay. Scotty?
I feel like I can't trust Brown. I can't trust any wide receiver in Arizona even more outside of Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to go Shepard.
Okay. Yeah. Corey?
Which one? Say them again.
John Brown or Sterling Shepard?
Sterling Shepard. I don't do the John Brown thing. I'm not fooling with that.
That's another Jake Sealy bold prediction. John Brown going to have a big year.
Oh, you got him ranked 25th.
He believes it. He certainly believes it. All right, we spoke about Sterling Shepard and Randall Cobb a little bit. There's another wide receiver in here that very well could be number 3 this year after spending years as a miscast number 1. And I think that's Jordan Matthews. And people are very cold on Jordan Matthews until certain experts are like, you know what? We're overlooking this. I know Matt's kind of giving me the thumbs up and the Hawaii wave here because he's one of these experts that has become quite high on Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I think, like you said, he was miscast, misused. Now he's going to the slot. He has a number 1 wide receiver on his team now.
And Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Carson Wentz is going to have a successful season, he's going to need to rely on Jordan Matthews to help him get through that.
Corey, Jordan Matthews is somebody that's let fantasy owners down pretty consistently through the years. But again, I think it's about him being a little miscast in his role. Now, he is the oldest wide receiver that, not oldest in age, but like
most tenured.
Most tenured, exactly, wide receiver on the Eagles, and he's had the longest connection with Carson Wentz. I've decided I'm not buying into the Zach Ertz hype. Should I be buying into the Jordan Matthews hype?
I think I can get down with Jordan Matthews a little bit later on. Depends on roster construction, how I build a team.
Before or after Sterling Shepard?
Oh, I'm sorry. Before Sterling Shepard.
Sorry, I just threw it out there.
Before Sterling Shepard. I like Jordan Matthews more than I like Sterling Shepard. Put it like that.
Okay. So you can get behind him. Is it in between Randall Cobb and Sterling Shepard or before Randall Cobb as well?
It's after Randall Cobb.
So it's in between those two guys.
It's in between those two guys.
Okay. I also think for the price he's going at, like if he's your number four wide receiver, that's great. I mean, if he's going in the ninth round, say, and you get him as your number four, I think you're doing good.
I'm in a draft right now. He went off the board as wide receiver 43. Cobb went off the board as wide receiver 46. Tyrell Williams went off the board at wide receiver 50. Sterling Shepard is still out there.
It's Sterling Shepard. That's how you pronounce it.
I know. I know it's not Leroy. Leroy.
Hey, Scotty, where are you here?
Leroy on line one.
Yes, hello.
I don't even know if I view him as a third receiver on this team. You know, I feel like Carson Wentz would probably go to him over Torrey Smith unless he's looking for a deep shot. But, you know, if you're just asking me where I like him in terms of, like, drafting, I do like the situation. I feel like, you know, he was asked to be more of a primary target, but now with Alshon Jeffrey there, he doesn't have as much pressure as to be the man. And I think he can really move the sticks for this team. So I like Jordan Matthews. I'm very much in agreement with how Matt laid it out.
Okay, there you go. Now, there's two, number quote-unquote, three wide receivers in the NFC East. I want to get to a third, and this is a true number three wide receiver, but it's one that I had all last year, honestly, on all of my teams. I was the high guy on him, and for most weeks it worked out, and I'm wondering if it will again. Corey, where are you in 2017 on Cole Beasley?
Cole Beasley is interesting. I think he's going to get some targets. I think he's a player that you can roster and be satisfied with through the bye weeks. He's not going to be consistent unless an injury strikes Dez Bryant. Knock on wood.
When an injury strikes Dez Bryant?
If you want to feel that way, I can understand that. When an injury strikes Dez Bryant and he misses a game or two, those would definitely be situations that you're going to want Cole Beasley on your team. Other than that, we know how the Dallas Cowboys offense goes. It runs through three people, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dez Bryant. Other than that, I think Cole Beasley is a nice piece to have late in a draft. In a 16-teamer, I can see maybe Cole Beasley being a guy on the waiver wire. But definitely, if you're a little bit deeper than that, I think that Cole Beasley is definitely a player that's fantasy relevant.
Cole Beasley last year finished with 98 targets on the year. So right around 100 targets for Beasley. 75 catches, 833 yards, 5 touchdowns. It's a good year. It's a very solid year.
Too much sauce. Cole Beasley.
No, he did not have a single game, though, however, that he had 100 yards receiving. In fact, he had no game where he had 80 yards receiving. But each and every week, he had seemingly 4 catches for 50 yards. I mean, that was the week. So basically, in a PPR league, this is a guy that you pretty much knew week in, week out, you were getting at least 10 points from, which I think is okay.
Yeah, he's a bench player. He's a depth guy you want to have on your roster. And like you just said, when or if Dez Bryant goes down, he's definitely going to get more play. He's going to be more of that security blanket. Add Prescott, trust him. So if you can get a guy that's going to average, say, 5 receptions a game and at least 50 yards, I mean, that's 10 points right there.
Exactly. And Scotty, I think that's where Cole Beasley is. I think both Corey and Matty are right in saying that, hey, this is like the perfect bench guy. And I know Jake always likes to say, you don't want to put guys on your bench that are, you know, are bench guys, that the upside just isn't there. But isn't there something to be said where, listen, in the case of a bye or an injury, and we'll all go through both byes and injuries, Cole Beasley's is pretty much, in my opinion, as safe as they come. You know more than perhaps any player that you can draft where Cole Beasley's going, what you're going to get. It's not going to be great, but he's got a shot at a touchdown. He's got a pretty damn good shot at 5 for 50. Is there something to be said for a guy like that?
Yeah, because, you know, when Jake says something like that, you can't apply it to every player. Like I always say,
right,
it's not absolute. This is a guy that you know on your bench in a bye week. You're guaranteed 8 to 11 PPR points every week. There is no upside for Cole Beasley. There isn't. But you know that Dak Prescott already has an established chemistry with him. With Dez Bryant, though, it's like I'm looking for a really big year for Dez Bryant. The talk out of Dallas is, here's one thing. Okay, the last two off seasons, Dez Bryant had to deal with a holdout. And then last year,
he didn't hold out. He had that situation.
He had that situation with a lot of controversy. And then last year, he's coming back from an injury. This has been a clean offseason for Dez. And he's coming in healthy, and he's coming in with no distractions. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Dez earlier than in past seasons. I think he could have a very big year.
He was excellent down the stretch last year. When he got back from that foot injury and he started to get in rhythm with Dak Prescott, he put up some real big numbers down the stretch. Matt, I don't know if you got that site up where you can look at his numbers, because I'm quite sure he was a wide receiver.
What do you
want
to see?
I want to see. I'm trying to figure out. Trying to find him when he got
while
back.
While he's looking for that, though, the one thing from the scouting perspective I loved about Dak, even from the preseason, is very preseason. Like, Dez, what he didn't see when Romo was hurt is quarterbacks throwing him in position where he can use his tremendous athleticism to make a play.
And his
just
heart.
Go up and get it.
His heart.
Just go up and get it.
A lot of people don't have in their chest what Dez Bryant got chest. Matt, weeks 8 through 16. But it's the truth, though, Greg.
So Dez Bryant missed a month. Dez Bryant missed a month here. Let me read you a stat line when he came back. Came back against Philly on Halloween weekend.
Tore their ass up.
4 for 113 and 1.
There you go.
Week later against Cleveland. He had one catch for 19 yards.
Happens.
Fine. Against Pittsburgh, 6 for 116 and
one. One of the most beautiful Dak Prescott passes I've ever seen when he caught him on that seven route. Go
week
ahead.
Later against Baltimore, 6 for 80 and 2.
Two touchdowns. Threw up the X two times on him.
Week later against Washington, 5 for 72.
Bum ass Washington. Okay.
Week later against Minnesota, 4 for 84 and 1.
4 for 84 and a touch. Remember he had the big touch on that game.
He had secondary
yep,
too.
Yep. Xavier Rhodes. Go ahead. Yep.
And this is now the playoffs. Fantasy playoffs.
Okay.
Against the New York Giants, 1 for 10.
It happens.
Janoris Jenkins ate his ass up.
Then the next week against Tampa, 8 for 82. Then the next week against Detroit, 4 for 70 with two touchdowns.
What did he do against Green Bay in the playoff game? What were the stats?
Oh, he destroyed Green Bay in the playoff game.
9 for 132 and 2.
I could be looking really big year at Dez Bryant.
This is the guy that's going in the round. I've seen him going in the third round of drafts.
To Curry's point from weeks 8 through 16, as far as fantasy points for a wide receiver, Dez Bryant was number 6.
That's Corey throwing up the X, by the way. So there you
it's
go.
It's also the Roto Experts X.
It is the Roto Experts X. Dez Bryant, where he's going right now, and this is why Matt has talked about a lot where he wants to be, because you can match up A.J. Green and Dez Bryant to start a draft.
Which I did in my last draft champion.
Yo, the draft I'm in right now, somebody just made a horrific mistake. We are in the 10th round. And somebody just took Terrence West. Terrence West.
But you got to love those
people.
Kenneth Dixon's on the board. Latt Murray's on the board. Matt Stewart. Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan Williams. All dudes I would have taken over that stiff Terrence West.
So I agree with that, taking the guys that you named over Terrence West. But I don't hate Terrence West like you. You got 4 weeks, man. You got 4 weeks.
I think it's a Danny Woodhead show.
I'm not into Terrence West. I could see Danny Woodhead actually getting the ball over the goal line over Terrence West.
Terrence West is a journeyman.
Danny Woodhead, he
2015,
had
yeah, 2015 when Gordon. No, I'm agreeing with you. 2015 when Gordon wasn't doing anything, they gave him the ball at the goal line.
This team likes Terrence West. Don't forget that. They could have cut him. They chose not to.
True.
Just because they like him doesn't mean they should.
But they do, which is the important. Take
there
a break.
Go.
We'll come back. More football coming your way. You're the Rex for some money.
Victory. Jam when I was a little fantasy executive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's crazy stories they tell
about
this.
You were a junior fantasy executive?
I was a little boy, you know what I'm saying? Younger than Kennedy. They was like, when this song would come on, I was all acting crazy.
So we're getting back to football.
Do you know Six of Court?
I believe this is Queen, right?
Yes. One of the greatest rock bands of all time.
Agree. So before we get back into the football, we'll certainly have a lot more discussion here in hour number two.
Rocking.
I do want to ask you a question, Corey. It's kind of been boggling my mind. Obviously, big Maryland fan. I wanted to find out where Melo Trimble would end up last night. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, as Matt was telling me during the break, he didn't get drafted. And he was a junior. And I just trying to figure out why come out of college as a junior if You're not guaranteed to get drafted.
He probably wanted to play. If the NBA thing didn't work out, he probably still wanted to figure out a way to play for money. You know what I'm saying?
Why not wait a year and maybe improve your draft style?
I don't know what his situation is. You know what I'm saying? He could have anything going on. You know what I mean? So apparently that bread is important to him right now. So I'm not going to say he made a mistake going to get the bag. You know what I mean? He could try to get in the NBA at some other point. Took a shot at it this year. It didn't work. I'm quite sure he had an agent telling him some kind of information, and they decided to make a decision based off that.
And there's always Europe. You can go out there and make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what I had read was ultimately that Trimble felt that he couldn't really improve his stock anymore in college, and that he was going to be old. He's going to be 23 already, and it's very, very tough. It's very, very rare, but you know, tough for 23-year-olds to
be first round draft.
To be first rounders. In fact, last night, Scotty, the most freshman ever drafted in the NBA draft the first round. Out of the 30 picks, 16 of them were freshmen.
Yeah, but the kid was drafted, I think, with the 10th or 11th pick from Gonzaga, was like the first ever guy from the school who was like one and done. Yeah,
it's 100% right. Yeah.
Good for him.
And we know it was really interesting to me when Justin Jackson, when it wasn't Justin Jackson, it was another kid. It was a kid that Utah drafted. I don't remember his name. He was only the third UNC one-and-done player. That was crazy to me. UNC's only had three one-and-done players ever.
Yeah, I think that was the first UNC first-round pick since 1992.
Nah, no.
Very false.
No, that's nowhere near the truth.
That is very, very false. Marvin Williams is number two overall. He's another former one-and-done.
There's a difference that
Harrison Barnes.
Tyler Hansborough. Yeah. There's many of them.
Psycho T.
But anyway.
Yeah, that dude was wild.
But I thought it was very interesting that UNC, Corey, has only had three one-and-dones ever.
Yeah, you know, that's the program right there. You go down there.
But even Duke changed their model, right? Like, Duke was always never about the one-and-done.
Oh, yeah, but they got to play that game now.
But UNC's not.
Yeah, but UNC is a bigger route. The people that go to North Carolina, they generally tend to want to play there, for real.
And
they want to go on long tournament runs. You feel what I'm saying?
Same with Duke.
I don't think the Duke kids.
Yeah, but if you want to compete against John Calipari nowadays,
see, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's why I think Coach K is like, remember he had that stretch, but he wasn't doing nothing, so he went actively looking for one and done type guys.
Right.
Whereas in UNC, you come here because you want to. LeBron James has said he probably would have went to North Carolina. I mean, even the dudes that went to high school, well, he might have went to Ohio State too. But North Carolina is the big route. You want to go there because you want to be there for a couple years.
It's so interesting to me because all the other blue blood programs, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, they're all right with it. They're all doing the one and dones.
Oh yeah, obviously, you know? Kentucky's doing it. Kentucky, like, do we doing? And we paying them.
Say what you want about Kentucky and John Calipari, but John Calipari, what he is doing, he's a marketing genius.
Yeah, John Calipari.
All over
the man.
ESPN, looking at his guys on the. He was on the podium, not on the podium, but on the desk with the ESPN guys last night.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. He was complimenting all those guys, and the Malik Monk came off, and he just totally changed the subject. It's very, very interesting. He's also coaching the U19 America team, and it's just like where you can get potential recruits.
Snake oil. He's a snake oil salesman.
He's really good at what he does. Hit me one. He's really good at what he does.
We got a snake oil salesman and a hippie.
Calipari is really, really good at what he does. Phil Jackson's really, really bad at what he does. Take a break. When we return, this is some hippie crap as well. When we return, we'll get some NFL back to the conversation here. Hour number two is Mike Lyon wraps up the program a little bit later on. Roto Experts of the Morning continues right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And remember, available right now is the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, available at rotoexperts.com. That is our premium package, folks, and that is what you need to get before you start drafting and before you make a single move inside of your team, because we have you covered all season long. That is the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package. Use free radio when you check out. We'll give you a few shekels off, and it's certainly well worth it to get it right now. Get it earlier. Get it often. Do it.
Yeah, we've launched earlier than ever. Check out three undervalued players to consider by our Chris Ventra.
Yeah.
And if you play college football, go to rotoexperts.com and check out the new ebook for Joe Lisi, the Go for the Two Power 5 college football preview as well.
Yeah, there you go. Joe Lisi also, he'll be here later today as well. Yes. So now, we spoke about the number three receiver who could have value all over the NFC East, except one spot, and that is in Washington. We've spoken a lot, the four of us, about Jamison Crowder. We've spoken a lot, the four of us, about Terrell Pryor. I think the four of us need to speak a little bit more on Josh Doctson.
The secret weapon?
Yeah. The secret sauce?
Fanboy love.
I mean, what are we? I want to see him, Greg.
I understand.
I got to see him first. I'm sorry.
So you're out on Josh Doctson.
I'm not going to say I'm totally 100% out. I will not be drafting him until I see him run a route and catch a pass.
Okay. Scotty.
Yeah. I'm kind of with Corey on that, but we have to remember that this offense is going to have a lot of volume, and there's going to be a lot of chances.
You on the clock?
I think you have to at least like him as like a wide receiver 4/5 because there's going to be opportunity. But then I start thinking, he's the fourth option in that passing game too, Gov, because you can't forget about Jordan Reed either.
Definitely. Absolutely.
But Jordan, so to me, he's depth with upside.
Okay.
He's depth with upside. Scott's correct. But, I mean, if Jordan Reed suffers another concussion, I think that's where he gets his best opportunity to succeed here. Look, the Redskins have been high on this kid. What happened to him last year was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And I think Corey said it right. You do want to see him. He's somebody that, it's one of those guys that say you write down. I mean, you got to draft him now. Say, if I was able to get him in the 12th round, I'll take a shot on him and stuff. But excuse me. But
his hype.
Yeah, I mean, I think the talent is there, but we do want to see it.
The Redskins got just 2 catches and 66 yards from Josh Doctson, obviously, all year last year. He's battled injuries throughout the season. Both of those receptions came in September. They did try to install some red zone plays for him when he was on the field. Ultimately, nothing came to fruition. I'm with the rest of the guys here. We got to see something from Josh Doctson before we can invest certainly a hefty draft pick on him. We're going to come back. We got a lot more number three wide receivers to talk about, including in Corey's favorite place of Tampa Bay, Florida. You know about DeSean Jackson. You know about Mike Evans. But you should know about Adam Humphries, right? We'll ask the guys next here at the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is Dan Stratford with your Fantasy Sports Radio Network news update on the hour. A busy night in the NBA. The Minnesota Timberwolves have acquired 3-time All-Star Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls in a draft night deal that reunites him with former coach Tom Thibodeau. The Wolves received the number 16 overall pick in Thursday night's draft, which was used to select Justin Patton, the freshman center from Creighton. The Bulls, meanwhile, acquired guards Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, as well as the number 7 overall pick Thursday night, which is used to select 7-footer Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. Markel Fultz said during the draft process he wanted to be the top pick in the draft, quote, really bad. And on Thursday, the Philadelphia 76ers made that a reality. Fultz, a 6'5" point guard, is headed to Philadelphia after being selected with the number 1 overall pick last night. In Major League Baseball, Brandon Phillips left Thursday's game against the Giants with left groin tightness. Matt Kemp left the same game due to a tight left hamstring. Kemp was lifted after hitting a single in the 5th inning. He has dealt with hamstring problems at several other points this season. Robinson Cano went 2-for-4 with a 2-run home run, a grand slam, and 6 total RBIs in Thursday's 9-6 win over the Tigers. Andrew Moore allowed 3 runs on 6 hits over 7 innings to pick up the win.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And I brought this up before we hit the break here. And that was my man Adam Humphries. Matt, why are you shaking your head?
Because I think they're going to run 12 personnel. I think
really?
Gonna 2 tight end sets. I think Cameron Brate's going to be the guy, not Adam Humphries. I think this is what Dirk Cutter wants. That's why he was ecstatic when they took O.J. Howard. I really like the addition of DeSean Jackson. And as we talked about Eli Manning throwing, 598 passes, I think he threw like, I think he had like 20 or maybe 30 more attempts than Jameis Winston. I expect Winston to continue that ascension up towards the 600 pass attempts.
Everybody started talking about Adam Humphries in the third game of the season last year. Well, not everybody. I'm saying he became some of the waiver buzz when he caught 9 passes for 100 yards against the Rams, but then he followed up for 1 for 4, 1 for 11, 2 for 17, 3 for 58, which wasn't bad, 5 for 46, 5 for 45. But then late in the season, he had more duds, you know, 1 for 18 against the Seahawks, against the Chargers, 2 for 19, 2 for 49 against the Cowboys, and finishes the fantasy season 1 for 12. Totally unreliable, too many duds. And no way I want the guy when just what Matt was pointing to. You have so much else coming in there. You got DeSean Jackson. You got O.J. Howard. I just don't think he's going to be a factor.
Corey, can you jump on Adam Humphries with me?
Yeah, I can fool with Adam Humphries. I think it's enough. I think it's enough to get a couple looks. Listen, I don't think the play is going to be anywhere near consistent, but I do think they got a good chance of spreading the football out. I worry about Chris Godwin pushing him at some point this season. That could happen. I'm talking about a 19th, 20th round guy who would be the first dude you cut, though, Greg.
All right. I mean, that probably is true.
Not a ringing endorsement.
You know what, Scotty? You know, I think the best way I should probably describe Adam Humphries is that we just talked about Cole Beasley a moment ago, and I thought he was safe. He's 5 for 50, bye week injury. I'm okay with him at the end of my bench. Adam Humphries, I don't have that safety. I don't have that upside. What am I drafting Adam Humphries
for? I might want
the
upside of Chris Godwin.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too.
Right. So this is like that Jake theory where it works, where it certainly applies, where there's just nothing great that can come out of drafting Adam Humphries.
Adam Humphries is a guy that, like, at most I'm going to say, well, I guess I wish I would have started him in daily that day because once every 4 weeks, you know.
Sure.
To me, Adam Humphries is going to be like, you know, and I used to say, oh, well, Devery Henderson had a good game, and then like 3-4 weeks of nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what about New England, gentlemen, where you have Brandon Cooks, you have Julian Edelman, you have Rob Gronkowski. Then there's the other guys. Chris Hogan, who I know you were high on last year, didn't really work out. Malcolm Mitchell, who certainly came on at, you know, that second half for a small stretch. Is there anything we should be looking at in New England, Scott?
I'd rather not, because I don't know who it's going to be in any given week. Is it going to be Mitchell? Is it going to be Hogan? And you can't even dictate that on matchup. It's just...
Except against Buffalo, where you know it's Hogan.
Yeah, well, it's a revenge game, I guess. But, you know, it's too dicey for me. You know who the primary target's there, and that's who I want to stick with. It's almost like the situations with the running backs when you're getting into the depth of the receivers there.
Yeah, somebody needs to go down if you want to, like, look at the... It's going to run through Gronk, Edelman, Cooks, and somebody goes down, then you're putting bids on the waiver wire that weekend.
Corey, can you fool with Malcolm Mitchell and or Chris Hogan?
Now you need injuries for them dudes to get involved this year. It's the only one I'm fooling with is Brandon Cooks.
Okay. I know you hate Julian Edelman.
He caught all those passes, and I'm still like...
Yeah, I mean, as much as you want to hate him, he's the guy just... Jeez. I don't see, especially that they gave him a contract too. I think he's like tied to Brady for the next couple of years. They wanted that there, and he does catch the damn ball. He gets the receptions plus the yardage, and then the weeks where he does get a touchdown, you know, you're getting over 20 points.
And here's the football part that plays into what he's talking about. It's like the Patriots are going to be in just about every game. And they are a clutch team. And who does Brady want to go to in the clutch that he depends on more than anybody else is Julian Edelman?
Yeah, 100%. It's funny because I always wanted to be a Julian Edelman owner. I've talked about this on the show before. I've always wanted to be a Julian Edelman owner. And then last year I was. I didn't enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I was an owner too last year. I mean, I had him and Fitzgerald on a team. But it's nothing spectacular you ever see, really, for the most part. But it's just consistent. That's what helps you. I mean, and then when your other guys, all you need is like a big week from like somebody else, and then to have the consistency from every, you know, from the rest of your roster.
That's how I feel the same way about Edelman and Mitchell and Hogan and New England in general. That's kind of where we are. The running backs too. Like, everyone loves themselves some James White right now, but like, Deion Lewis could be the guy.
Deion Lewis could be the guy, but I think you have to, as of now. I mean, this could obviously change, but as of now, going into camp, you got to think White It's his job to lose
right now. Okay. Now, there's two more guys here on this list, one of which we've kind of talked about a lot. Another one maybe we should be talking about a little bit more. I want to start with you, Matt, and that's because Marquise Goodwin comes from Buffalo. Taylor Gabriel's like the guy in highlights on this list, right? Number three wide receiver. He has the big games, and everybody knows about Taylor Gabriel. Taylor Gabriel played for Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan now coaches in San Francisco. Everyone loves Pierre Garçon, as Corey told us yesterday. And I'm sorry, Frank Stanfield also told us yesterday on the Fantasy BFFs. But Marquise Goodwin is going to seemingly play the Taylor Gabriel speed role for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. The obvious question, Matt Modica, is can Marquise Goodwin have some of the output that we saw from Taylor Gabriel last year?
I'll sum it up like Corey said yesterday, dollar make you holler kind of thing. Look, the guy's got tremendous speed. He's a track star and all that. Doesn't have the greatest hands. And, you know, look, it's Pierre Garçon and who else? Really?
Correct.
Jeremy Curley and stuff. So, I mean, I think a Scott would like to use the term. He's more of a DFS play for me.
Okay.
But, you know, I just don't know if he's a good enough receiver. He definitely has the speed.
King.
Not in on him at all. Just really a speed guy who can catch the occasional touchdown pass. Only 5'9", 179. If he's playing more of a primary pro, I worry about a guy that size getting off the jam. If I'm not into him at all.
Corey.
Yeah, I don't really see nothing here. It's a little bit too many moving pieces going around with the offense. You know, he would have to come off the waiver wire for me.
Okay. So no Marquise Goodwin love around this table. And finally, we get to Ted Ginn Jr., who I know a lot of people at this table are very interested in, very high on. But I think the question for me with Ted Ginn is when do we invest the draft pick? Scotty?
When do we invest? I like him a lot as a wide receiver 4.
Right.
You know, this is a guy that, you know, Cam Newton is not exactly, you know, Drew Brees, and he was able to find him for a lot of key bombs. I think he'll play a role in this offense. I'm very comfortable drafting him over the wide receiver 4, especially in a league that gives bonus points for performance yardage.
Matt, you have been talking up Ted Ginn Jr. for about a month or two now.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as a depth guy. Not somebody I want to be my third wide receiver. I mean, 4. In a best case scenario for me, it's a number 5. He's great as a best ball, I think. But what I really like here is he's going to be playing on turf. You know, he's going to be on a fast track. He's got one of the best quarterbacks, and more importantly, a quarterback that throws to the open guy. I think his biggest bugaboo for him is catching the damn ball.
Yep,
he drops a lot of passes, but he is a guy that can get open. He is a guy that can have big weeks for you. So I don't want to have to rely on him every week, but I would like to have him on my roster.
And he is a matchup play for me. If I'm scouting one of his opponents and I see they don't get a good pass rush, I'm in on Ginn that week.
Corey, the fantasy executive.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr. Can you get in on him?
Yeah, I can get in on Ted Ginn Jr. 12, 13 in that area. And I think he'll have some games, too, where you'll like the production you get from Ginn Jr. So better as a best ball play, obviously. Trying to figure out how to put him in your lineup every week would be difficult, but that's why you want him on your bench.
I think to that point, like I said, look at the matchup. If there's a team that doesn't get a good pass rush against them and he's just got time to get downfield and break away from the secondary, you know, that's something I want to look at.
All right, would you rather draft, sir? Because Ted Ginn Jr. right now, according to Fantasy Pros, number 56 off the board. Let's start with the guy that's right after him, the one we talked about to start off the program today. Ted Ginn Jr., Sterling Shepard.
I'm going to go with Ted Ginn Jr. right now. I want to have him because I think for all the things I said, I'm very excited. He's going to be playing indoors on our fast track. And like I said, the opportunity for Shepard is kind of capped, I think.
Scotty.
I'm going to go Ted Ginn Jr. Okay. I feel more big plays.
And Corey.
I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard. I think I'm going to get a slight nod to Shepard in this case right here. I think Shepard will be more consistent.
Ted Ginn Jr. or Quincy Enunwa?
Enunwa.
I got to go with the Drew Brees quarterback. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I mean, Enunwa is the number one option.
I'm going with Enunwa for that exact reason. The number one option. There you go. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball for like 10 minutes or so. And then we'll get to Is Mike Lying? This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Roto Experts in the Morning here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit of baseball because of that trade yesterday. I made fun of Scotty for the Zach Wheeler. I made fun, but like the Zach Wheeler for Kyle Schwarber trade, right? And Zach Wheeler immediately gets hurt. And then Kyle Schwarber, he's not even in the major leagues anymore.
Nope.
As Kyle Schwarber officially sent down to AAA for what should be a, quote, short stay. But even though Jason Hayward's on the DL, they still don't want to keep Kyle Schwarber in the majors. What a disaster of a year for Kyle Schwarber.
It is. I mean, it really is. But, I mean, like I said, this guy missed all of last year. People seem to forget that. He was hurt very, very early on. He made a surprising comeback in the playoffs. And everybody just thought, you know, it was going to be 40 home runs and all that. I still think this kid will, I mean, the power is obvious. But I think the bat will play. And I think he will hit for a better average than most of the consensus thinks. And he doesn't have the experience of, you know, a track record. Let him go down. Let him get confidence. The one thing he needs more than anything right now is confidence. The Cubs can afford this right now. They're not even playing good. What are they, like a couple of games out of first? So I don't think they're worried. They got pieces to make trades for pitching, whatever they need. So if right now, I'd probably be trying to buy Schwarber, because maybe after the All-Star break, you can see this kid go on a nice run.
Yeah, it's I drafted this guy in the third round, and you know he's been a big bust.
That's,
you know,
for sure.
It's fortunately though, you learn to survive those things, and you know, as a fantasy owner, and I don't think you can cut him if you have him. You know, if you're playing in a 15-team league and maybe even a 12-team, you keep him around, I think. You know, you don't overreact to something like this. We've seen it before. You know, sometimes people get very excited on the young guys and on the upside. And, you know, to a lesser degree, look at Conforto last year. You know, he hit two home runs in a World Series game in 2015. People were excited on him, and he ended up, you know, after a good first month, totally stinking it up and going to the minors. And that sometimes this is what these guys need to get their head straight.
He doesn't even have 600 MLB plate appearances. He has 539. So, you know, be patient.
Be patient indeed.
I mean, I know if you're a fantasy team, you can't be.
No,
especially in a head-to-head.
No, I'm certainly not patient on Kyle Schwarber. I was talking to this on the news desk a little bit yesterday. I wanted to bring it up to you. Scotty, you were a Kyle Schwarber owner until, you know, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you own Kyle Schwarber still, would you have... will you still hold on to him?
In a 15-team league, for sure.
Okay.
In a 12-team league, I don't know if I can give on to that. Because if he comes back in July, you know, he starts popping home runs again, you're going to regret it. And there's going to be like a significant bidding war for his services, I think, when he comes back. Because a lot of people are going to think that way. And you don't want to get into that. You know, just be patient. Like Matt says, leave him on your bench.
Scott's 100% right. 15-team league, I don't think you can drop him at all. In a 12-team league, the question you have to ask yourself, who am I picking up? Is this person I'm picking up really going to make an impact on my team? Otherwise, I'm going to try and hold him. The All-Star break's coming. We're only like, what, 3 weeks away from that?
Yeah.
You're going to have that dead week that we talk about. Mm-hmm. So I try and hold on.
You know, it's just, I guess to me, it's just like you're at that point where it's like you're holding on to Kyle Schwarber. I'm just like, you know me, I'm like, why? For what? He's batting 174.
For later in the year.
There's no, I mean, I get the BABIP's the lowest in all of baseball. I understand that.
Yeah.
You're holding on to later in the year, but at some point, to me, you know how I feel about this, at some point you just say, this is a loss, I got this wrong, I'm moving on, I'm waving my hands clean.
I don't know if I can do that in June.
Do it in September when your season's over. Yeah.
In a 12-team,
I think it's too early. What if the guy comes back in July and start ripping it up? You're going to regret making that move.
So, but you're going to tell me in July it's too early. I'm going to do it in August. And you're going to tell me in August it's too early.
If the guy comes back from the minors and then he still stinks, you know,
how long does he have to stink for?
if he comes back and he's still hitting like 200, like the first 2 to 3 weeks he's coming back from the minors, I'm okay with getting rid of him.
All right. Well, I will. If this happens, I will bring this back up, and we will see what you say then.
Yes.
Fair enough. Matt Kemp got hurt last night, and he's been having a really good year, of course, for Atlanta. We talk about it pretty often with Matt. With the Braves, and Scott's been right. Like, the Braves really have been on this run, and he kept saying, even when they were terrible, and they are better than you think they are, and here they are just 4 games under 500 now. They're in every game, and unfortunately, you lose Matt Kemp last night, which is frustrating.
Hamstring tightness.
Exactly.
Yeah, which can never be good when you hear about a hamstring injury, and, you know, Kemp's having a good season. It's like, and Matt Adams just continues, like, a dozen home runs.
It's a perfect ballpark.
13 total now for Matt Adams. Crazy. Yeah,
it's like if you don't want Matt Adams in Yankee Stadium, put him in SunTrust Park, and it's just like, it's been absolutely perfect. And Freddie Freeman admitted that all the talk about him coming back at third base is serious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how do you take Matt Adams out of the lineup?
You can't.
You can't do it. You just cannot do it right now. He's been that good, and understandably so.
Yeah.
And I get it's Freddie Freeman.
I agree. I do think it's a little odd that, you know, you're going to have your franchise player.
You
know.
They want both bats in the lineup.
I get it. They're
I try and have Matt Adams learn some outfield.
You can't put Matt Adams in the outfield. I know. Where are you going to put him?
The Braves, 7-3 in their last 10, 4 games under 500. They're actually in second place in the NL East. The Mets are in fourth.
So sad.
Yep.
Just so you know, in case you're wondering, Corey, Mets are in fourth place in the NL.
Yeah, I knew they wasn't going to be in first.
Yeah, you know, the Yankees have like lost a lot lately too.
Oh, they've lost a ton lately. Yeah. They're really struggling, the Yankees, and they lose the game
and
last night.
What?
Severino aren't didn't have a good start last night.
They're tied in first place.
Yeah. I will give you something though on Aaron Judge though. It seems like, you know, he's become like, ever since Jeter retired, maybe the new icon that are like latching onto. Last night he hit his 25th home run. Only 6 Yankees in all of history had reached 25 home runs in their first 70 games.
That's incredible.
Right? Yeah. And the last one was A-Rod in 2007. All the other 4, you're starting to go back to like Maris, Ruth, and Gehrig.
Sure.
Yeah, but let's not use icon yet.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to see this kid Chance Adams. I want to see them give him a chance.
I'd like them to do that as well. You got to add him to the 40-man roster. And I think, it's interesting. With this team struggling right now, they've lost 8 out of the last 9. And yesterday, I think, I truly believe this. Yesterday's going to be a tipping point because it was very sloppy. Gehrig actually just threw one into center field. Starling Castro booted a double play ball, which led to this terrible 7th inning. Chris Carter couldn't dig one out of the dirt. Chase Headley got hurt. Carter's obviously been terrible with the bat. I think it's gonna be a tipping point where they're gonna start doing something. They're gonna give Tyler Austin a shot at first base. They're gonna make some move, maybe Chance Adams in for like Luis Sessa in the rotation. They're gonna do something.
I mean, he deserves it though.
He's earned it.
He had another really good outing. I think his ERA there was like 2.12, and he's getting strikeouts. I want to see him.
I'll tell you this with the Yankees, and they were very fair earlier this year with Jordan Montgomery because he earned it, right? Like, he pitched well in Double-A, pitched well in Triple-A, and
good
he was
spring.
In spring exactly, and he was not on the 40-man roster, and they wanted Luis Cesar or Chad Green or someone like that to win this job, and Jordan Montgomery won this job outright, and they gave him the shot. Chance Adams is now there. He has done everything he can to get called up and earn a job in the major league rotation. Now it's on the Yankees to give him this shot.
Yeah, and Severino got hit hard last night.
He battled
at Yankee
Stadium. Yeah, but he's been great.
At Yankee Stadium, no, but my point is that he's been mostly good at home this year. And you know what? On the other side, though, Cameron Maybin is just like, you know, having the run of his career. He has 17 runs scored in his last 12 games.
He's got 22 stolen bases on the year, too.
Unbelievable. What a pickup he has been for your fans.
He was injured. He's like, what is he, like 8 away from Billy Hamilton right now?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
What he has done in his short
time.
And
he's hitting for power, too.
He is. With Houston, my man David Polino pitched kind of well yesterday.
Yeah, I was pissed I lost out to him by like $4 in my angle only. And Jesse Hahn just got lit up. But Polino and Martez are two guys that will probably get moved if they do go out there and acquire a starting pitcher.
Yeah, you talk about Hahn, it's like you didn't expect to give a bomb like that because he had not allowed a home run in his last 9 outings covering 50 innings pitched.
He made up for it yesterday.
Yeah, he certainly did.
Yeah,
Carlos Martinez did the same thing, too. He allowed 2 home runs.
Yeah, but he...
And He had only allowed 2 home runs in his previous 7 starts.
Carlos Martinez, since that game at Yankee Stadium where he walked about like 8 or 9 guys in 4 or 5 innings,
he's been great.
Has been fantastic. The control has been there. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Chase Anderson, like at home, it's like the Brewers have won his like his last 9 home starts. He's like 4-0 with like a 2.61 ERA during that span.
Yeah, I mean Chase Anderson and Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah,
they just pissed me off. I had both of them and cut both of them.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Mike Clevenger, my man, 5 innings, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts.
That's the problem right there.
The walks.
If he can get, you know,
he's always been his issue.
Yeah, he needs to, you know, figure it out, figure out the control. That's not easy. So, I mean, it's easier said than done, as we want to say. But there's something about him that I do kind of like.
For the Dodgers last night, Hyunjin Ryu pitched 5 innings, you know, 2 runs, 2 walks. I feel like, I hate to say it, it's kind of unfair. You're playing the Mets, you're kind of like, everybody is...
But I feel like everybody in the Dodgers pitches 5 innings. You know, except for Kershaw and Wood. Everybody pitches 5 innings.
Pretty much. For the Mets, Steven Matz actually pitched very well. 8 strikeouts for Matz.
He did give
up
2 homers, but he pitched well.
He pitched very well.
I'm just a bitter Mets fan right now.
Yeah, Curtis Granderson actually is like let off with home runs like each of the last 2 days. And as Drupal Cabrera is supposed to come back tonight, might play second base with Neil Walker out.
That's interesting.
I just don't understand why Rosario is not up.
Because the Mets are cheap.
It just pisses me off every
day. That's true. The Mets are a cheap organization.
What does that have to do with not calling Rosario up?
They don't want Star's arbitration clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the truth. I know.
That's something I can think of.
That's ultimately the answer. Who else did I have that got bombed last night? Another pitcher that stunk last night. Daniel Norris. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Yeah. So Daniel Norris in Seattle. His line was 6 innings, 5 hits, 5 runs, 5 strikeouts. A lot of fives there. 100 pitches. But on the other side of it was Andrew Moore making his MLB debut. Mm-hmm. Moore, 7 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits. Didn't walk a single batter. He struck out 4, 100 pitches. Is Andrew Moore, Matt, someone we need to pick up?
In deeper leagues, yeah. I mean, right now, I think everybody's a person who's interested.
Steve Cishek gets the save after Edwin Diaz pitched 3 days in a row. Nothing to see here. Don't worry. When we come back, is my lion next on the Road to Experts on the Morning. That time of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday. Let's shut down the computers.
Oh, yeah. Because Scott be cheating.
And let's get ready to rock because it is time.
You have any evidence of this? Are you going to make an accusation?
Nope.
For like is I thought. Mike Lyon here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am the 2-time defending champion, and I will try to hold on to my crown today. Michael Florio, welcome back to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you, sir?
Florio. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing very, very well. I'm excited for another edition.
Are you going to go first today?
I will be going last today.
All right.
Which means Matt Modica will be going first today.
Ladies first.
Hit the music and let's do it. It's Mike Lyon.
Question 1. Matt Davidson leads the MLB in home runs in the past 14 days.
That's false.
True.
False.
False.
It is false. There's other players tied with him, but only one has more.
Cody Bellinger?
Yep.
Boom.
Yep. I knew that one, too.
Thank you for letting me go first.
You're very welcome. I should have went first. We got that extra point there. Instead, Matt takes a 2-1 advantage of both Corey and myself. Scotty with 0 as we head to question number 2.
Jay Ajayi led all players in rushes of 20 or more yards.
Jay Ajayi led all players in rushes of 20 or more yards. King.
True.
False.
Rushes of 20 or more yards. Jay Ajayi. Could be true. But I'll say false.
False.
It is false.
Cool. Scotty, 0-2 thus far in his comeback, but he is a first to try to get this answer right. Two players have more 20 or more yard rushes.
Ezekiel Elliott.
That is one.
There's one. Gets his point back. Nice job, Scotty.
God, I hate that you did that. rushes of 20 yards or more.
It is not Dak Prescott either.
And Dak Prescott, I know that, young man. Isaiah Crowell.
No. Crowell, though.
That's a good guess.
He was fifth in this category.
I will go with LeSean McCoy.
That is it.
There you go.
Very nice,
Greg.
There we go.
I knew it was going to be my guess.
I steal your guess, and here we go. Maddie, he has three. I have three. Corey has two, and Scotty has one. As we head to question number three.
Malik Smith leads the MLB in stolen bases in the past 14 days.
I think you're going to answer that. Corey is on you, sir.
Malik, who's this?
Malik Smith. In the last 14 days.
Oh, this is true.
False.
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 This is false. Two players have more.
Corey.
Billy Hamilton.
It's always a good guess.
No, surprisingly. Ooh. Billy Hamilton is not in the top 10.
In stolen bases in the last few days here. I'll go with Cameron Maven.
He is number one.
There we go.
Trey Turner.
No, Trey Turner is fifth. He's actually tied with Malik Smith, though. They're all tied 3, 4, 5.
Scotty.
D. Gordon.
Yes.
And there we go. Scotty picks up an extra point there. What is the current scores, I believe?
Greg 5.
Oh, yes.
He always asks when he takes the lead. Greg 5, Matt 4, Scott 3, Corey 2.
Corey, bring it up the rear. 5, 4, 3, 2. Question number 4.
According to UberFacts, over 75% of NFL players face financial stress within 2 years of retiring.
I think it's true.
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 Yeah, it's 78% apparently.
Yeah, it's high. You knew that. And it's not easy.
Not a lot of these Uber fact questions are false.
Just say true every time. I'm saying,
moving along.
You say this, and then when they're false and you get them wrong,
they're very rare. It's like all the three out of the first four questions, like, you know, true, false, like, is this player in this category?
Oh,
they're
God,
all false.
God, Jesus. Question number 5.
Tom Brady has
Jesus
never
a Jewish guy.
Tom Brady has never had multiple players catch double-digit touchdowns in the same season.
Did you just ask us this question?
No, it was 1,000 yards.
Oh.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true.
I'll say false. His career's a long time. I'll say false.
True.
Nice job, fantasy executive.
Needed that one.
The closest was 2011. Gronk had 17. Welker had 9. And okay. I guess the third was, for those wondering, was Hernandez with 7.
Okay. So there you go. I have 5. Matt is 4. Corey and Scott both with 3. Question number 6.
Fernando Rodney leads the MLB in saves in the past 14 days.
Fernando Rodney leads the MLB in saves in the last 14 days. Scotty.
False.
True.
False.
I'm going to say false as well.
It is false.
Okay.
One player has more.
All of these are false and set up to make
it was,
guess.
The last one was true. You know that, right?
Most of them are.
The last one was actually true. Scotty, guessing's fun anyway.
Yeah.
Scotty. You know, you're talking a lot for a guy who's in third.
Whoa! But
you're talking a lot for a guy who's sitting downstairs.
He's hosting our game show right now. Scott, I need an answer, please.
Ken Giles.
No.
Tony Watson.
No.
He's not even a closer.
Last 14 days, we're looking for saves, right? That's the question here?
Yes.
Edwin Diaz.
No.
Oh,
good. There you go. Did you get a snipe me again?
Tried to.
Last 14 days. Ooh, I don't really know. Kelly Jansen's.
Yes.
Oh! Just pull that out of his, you know what? Oh my God.
We have a tie.
Damn.
Matt 7, Greg 7, Scott 5, Corey 4.
Here we go. This is question number 7.
A.J. Green is the only Bengal to top 1,000 receiving yards with Andy Dalton.
Ooh.
It's on me?
It's on you.
True.
I think it's false.
I'm going to say true.
True.
This is true, Greg. Sorry.
So you're shy. I thought it seemed so obvious that it was true. That maybe Marvin Jones had 1,000 yards 1 year, but he did not.
AJ Green has had 1,000 yards every year but last year.
Right. I thought, but the question was...
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. So yeah, I took a shot. All right, I'm down one. That stinks. Question number 8.
According to Uberfacts, a python was once sent to rehab after becoming addicted to meth.
True. No, rehab. Wait, what?
Yes, that was the question.
True.
Yeah, it's so outrageous, I'm going true.
It's over facts, it's true.
It's false.
Scott's right on this one. It's true.
That was absurd.
Jake Steely sent this to me during the week. He was like, you have to use this one on the show.
That was awesome. Good job, Jakey. Good job. All right. Maddie is up 1 on me. What are the scores right now?
9 for Matt, 8 for Greg, 7 for Scott, and 5 for Corey.
All righty. Question number 9.
Terrell Pryor had the fewest touchdowns of all players with 1,000 receiving yards last season.
False.
False.
Yeah, it's false.
Okay. It's false. How many players? Is there another one?
There are 3 players.
Ooh.
Who had less.
He knows one of them.
Kenny Britt is not one.
Wow! Okay, here we go now. Let's go now. Here we go now.
Kenny Britt was tied with Terrell Pryor.
Do we know how many Pryor had?
Don't tell them. Stop giving them all these clues. I don't understand this.
Repeat this, though.
Fewest touchdowns with 1,000 yards. Receiver.
Scotty.
T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton, no.
Ooh, that was a good guess.
That was a very good guess.
A good guess, Scott.
Britt actually had 1 more than Pryor. But 3 people had less than Pryor.
I got it.
Okay.
Amari Cooper.
No.
Oh.
That was good. I like that one.
Amari Cooper had 5 touchdowns.
I have an interesting one. Julio Jones.
No. Right. Julio had the same amount of touchdowns as T.Y. Hilton.
Oh.
That's right with you. All right. Go around again. Matt.
Fewest touchdowns. Did you get it?
For 1,000 yards receivers, we're looking for here. Fewest touchdowns for 1,000 yard receiver.
Golden Tate.
Damn it.
Golden Tate. No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Golden Tate was tied with Pryor.
This is question 9, right?
Yes.
Question 9, okay.
Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry, good guess, but no.
Oh, my
Jarvis Landry
God.
Was tied with Pryor.
This is a hell of a question.
This is.
Very good question.
I have one guy. I should have said that. I don't know if it's right.
This is a tough one right here.
At the 1,000 yards.
Should I tell you guys the number of touchdowns?
Nope, you cannot.
No, you can't do it.
Because that's not fair to me, Matt. You know, we went this round.
It's unbelievable, this guy, right?
Yeah. Well, all over the place.
Incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to go with... it's a tough one, right? Julian Edelman.
That's the guy I was going to say before.
That is correct.
There it is!
Julian Edelman.
Do I have to guess the next 20 seconds? That's not fair. Like, I don't know.
You've had time to think around it.
But I need more time.
3 of us went around the table. You could have been thinking during then.
Brandon Cooks.
No.
Okay.
Is Jimmy
we're over.
Greg Olsen and Pierre Garçon.
How many touchdowns was it?
All right.
3.
When we come back, the final question is Mike Lyon. We wrap up next.
Edelman.
We are down to the final question of the day. Matt Modica is up 1 point over myself. How many points over Scott and Corey is Matt, Mike?
He is 2 over Scott and 3 over Corey.
We head to question number 10. It is Scott Angles, and it is our final question of the day. Let's do it.
Nolan Arenado leads the league in RBIs in the past 14 days.
False.
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 Yeah, it's false. Three players have more.
I got a shot! We all have shots.
I know one.
He knows one. Hopefully somebody gets it before he gets to you.
Hopefully not.
Scott!
Carlos Gomez.
Corey Parson.
Aaron Judge.
No, Aaron Judge is actually the first person behind Nolan Arenado.
Cody Bellinger.
That is one.
There's one.
Paul Goldschmidt.
That is the other. There's one more.
All right. I got to get it before you do. Scotty.
Matt Adams.
No, not a bad guess, though. He is sixth, tied with Aaron Judge.
This is my shot. If I get it wrong, Matt is the champion. George Springer.
No.
Is it Charlie Blackman?
No.
Anthony Rizzo.
No.
Andrew McCutcheon.
It's over.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, that was so gettable. That was so gettable. Which means your winner and the new Is Mike Lyons champion is Wall Street Matt Modica.
It's good to be the king.
Ooh.
I know it is. But you, we can make you the queen.
You now have been usurped.
So you want to marry him? Is that what you're trying to say?
If I have Miss Mike Lyon game, I don't think that's the qualifications.
Well, you said king, you could be the queen. You know.
Yeah.
There you go, Matt. Congratulations, Mike Corey. Nice job.
We'll let you do that.
You are my court jester.
Was George Springer close by any chance? I just said
that. George Springer.
You say no.
No.
All right. Just took a shot. Man. All right. Give it a shot. That's all you can do.
You have yet to slay me.
We had some battles the last 3 weeks.
We really did at the end.
Unlike Scott, you know, me and you have had some nice bouts.
I was close, man. I was close to the end.
Cody Bellinger. He's not used to winning.
I'm sorry?
Him.
Only chips, guy. Yeah. Something you know nothing about.
Ooh.
Let the barbs be accurate. I was winning chips before, way before you showed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a little CBS Sports Line League.
Don't think so.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Yahoo.
Yeah. Big head, small brain.
What's coming up next on the OGs?
We're going through some ADP roulette right here. Our guy Paul Shapiro from RotoExperts.com will join us. Want to get into that. Also got some news on the DraftKings and FanDuel merger information and stuff that was going on. So get you an update on that, and we'll get you ready for the weekend. That's what we got planned coming up on Old School Fantasy.
There you go. Maddie, what are you up to this weekend, man?
I'm not even really sure. I know the wife's leaving Sunday, so tomorrow I'll probably do something nice with her.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Scott, what about you?
Don't know yet. Haven't thought about it yet.
I think about my weekend all week, so that's crazy for you.
I'm doing a lot of work right now. I haven't had too much to think about the weekend.
Fair enough. Corey, yeah. What about you, man?
What I'm doing for the weekend? I'm just kicking it, just working, chilling.
Yeah, me too. I don't really have anything going on either.
Will there be spike ball played?
You know, I think my friends are going to Long Island. One is a concert that he's seeing, and another one, like, their girlfriend's from Long Island. So they're all going to Long Island. I think they're playing out there. I'm not going to Long Island to do this. So I think I'll just be hanging in the city and find some stuff to do. I mean, who knows? Yeah, nothing crazy. Nothing crazy for me. No spike ball. Just trying to go mini golfing tomorrow. I think that's
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, it's fun.
That is fun.
Take the wife. You're looking for something fun to do.
I'll watch some baseball. We got the race this weekend on a road course. Right turns in NASCAR this weekend.
There you go. You can find us on NASCAR Hour tomorrow here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For Corey Parson, for Matt Modica, and for Scott Nagel, my name is Greg Sussman. The OGs of fantasy are up next. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you right back here Monday morning, 8 a.m. for another edition of the Road to Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.